Hallelujah. I want to just open up, since we've been sharing this particular scripture, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and just look at the scripture, feed upon it for a moment. This is what we've been using as a foundation scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at verse 12. I know Pastor Hagen, many times when you go, you'll go to a camp meeting where you have seasoned ministers. You have seasoned, ministers, those that have been in ministry for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and you'll hear Pastor Hagen teaching basics. You know, we can't get away from that. And, you know, you're sitting there and he'll say, we need to get back to basics. We need to talk about the basics because that's the foundation. That's what keeps us sustained when we're walking through things. And so we're not going to get away from that. And you can't. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession. So there's a conflict that we're in. It's a conflict with evil. We're not in conflict with God. And this conflict that we're in, we need to, as it says in the Phillips translation, fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Keep your grip on that life eternal to which you've been called and to which you boldly professed your loyalty before many witnesses. So one of the things that we find is that when we're in a fight, this constant pressure that comes against us, either in your mind, through external circumstances in life, its main thrust is to let you let loose of the grip that you have on eternal life and the promises of God. Just relax a little bit. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. It's to frustrate you and to loosen your grip that you've professed your loyalty to, as it says, before many witnesses. So at all cost, we need not let hold or loosen our grip. That's his intention, is to keep the pressure on. You need to keep the pressure on. Stir yourself up. I appreciated Reverend Leanne here and reminding us of who lives in us. Come from a place of knowing him and your confidence in the Word of God and your faith in the Word of God. Trust in it. But knowing who lives in us, not moved by what you feel, what you are experiencing, but God's word is settled. He sent the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He's there to help us navigate and remind us of the word of God and the promises of God, and to empower us to walk through these. Because why? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in us. If we if you just can't think of anything else, you just get up when there's pressures on, you just stir yourself up. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that's in me than this situation. Greater is he that's in me than this pressure. Greater is he that is in me than all this stuff that's coming at me. If you can't think of anything else, just think of greater. Greater is he that's in me. He's there. He's not leaving. So we just need to stir ourselves up. Sometimes we all go through seasons or periods where there's pressure. There's constant pressure. And we need to just stir ourselves up because that pressure is there to get you to loosen your grip, to just give up and quit. But we're not going to quit. I like what Pastor Hagin says. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. Put that in your lips. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. No matter what comes. I'm not going to be defeated. Why? Because greater is he that's inside me. I can't lose. Because he's in me. He's helping me. Hallelujah. So, one thing I wanted to just touch on today and just remind us is this. When we receive Christ, we became a new creature in Christ. Now, when we became that new creature, we were what? We were delivered from what? Something. We were delivered from something. What were we delivered from? The power and grip of the devil, of darkness. We were delivered from darkness. Thank God. And we were what? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Boy, oh boy. So now I'm delivered from something. Well, if I'm delivered, how come I'm still experiencing all this stuff? Well, there's a God in this world. We haven't been removed from this earth yet. But his time is running out. Hallelujah. And we ought to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger and more steadfast against him. We ought to be learning some things about our enemy and say, okay, gotcha. And so, since we've been delivered out of darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, now I'm in I'm in a new kingdom. I've got a new Lord. I've got a new master. I've got a new covenant. I've got new principles and laws to live under. Hallelujah. And so because of that, those principles and rules are available in this new covenant. So what I put down here is that our success is available to every one of his children. Success is, not failure. Success is available to every one of his children. There's no need for failure. There's no place for it in the purposes of God. There is no place for failure. So we're made, I'm trying to make a point here, because now we've been delivered out of darkness, we're in a new kingdom. We've got a new master. He watches over his word to perform it. He makes it come to pass. So this principle that we have here, we're made in what? The image and likeness of God. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And so when you look at that, what happened? God spoke all things into existence. He made us a spirit that speaks. We're made in his image and likeness. And so you can see here, just in Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith, what? We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things seen were not made, what? By things which do appear. So we're made in his image and likeness, so that means that the things that need to be changed by us here in this earth are going to have to follow those principles and rules. We're going to have to call those things that what? Be not as though they were. That means when the pressure's on and we see stuff, but we don't want this, we want this, I'm going to have to call this. And I'm going to have to keep the pressure on. Some things may, as you know, I know Pastor Clinton used to use some terms, but things that are under the control of other people may take longer to work out. It just may. That doesn't mean things aren't changing. That doesn't mean that things are not going to change. We're doomed for success. Or maybe doomed isn't the right word, but it doesn't sound good, does it? That didn't sound good. Somehow I thought about that. I said, that doesn't sound good. Yeah, destined's a better word. Right, that's good. I like that. We're destined for success. We're called for success, right? So, I like this. This is something that the God's Word translation said. It says, Hebrews 11:3, faith convinces us. So I like this. Hebrews 11:3 says, faith convinces us that God created the world through His Word. This means what can be seen was made by something that could not be seen. But faith convinces us. So when you talk, sometimes you have to kind of locate yourself. Or when you're hearing someone else share all the issues they're going through, you can locate yourself or locate someone else. Faith convinces you of something. When it says faith convinces us that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, faith convinces me that I'm saved. Faith convinces me that the Holy Spirit lives in me. Faith convinces me that I'm healed. Faith convinces me that my needs are met in Christ, that my bank accounts are full, that everything that I set my hands to is prospering. Faith convinces me that Jesus is my wisdom and my sanctification. You've got to be convinced. How? From the Word of God. So when you're not convinced, it may tell us, oh, you're not in the Word. You're looking at other things other than the Word. I know Pastor Greg was sharing something on Sunday about seeing things as God sees them and looking at a glass. And of course, you know that little science experiment where you can't see it because the water refracts the image. But see, if you're not looking at it from God's vantage point, which is His Word, then you're not convinced. Then we can be pressured into loosening up and letting go. But we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to meditate in the Word of God. We need to confess it. And just as Leanne was sharing, you know, I don't know you, God. I don't know you. And her point was the same way, what did the Holy Spirit say to her? What did Jesus say to her? How did you get saved? You believed and you confessed with your mouth. Well, I don't see any change in my bank account. I don't see any change in this neighborhood. I don't see any change in my family. I don't see any change. You are a spirit who releases words that change the scene. And so if you don't like what you're seeing, if you don't like what you're seeing, then you need to get convinced from the Word of God and change some things. Right? You don't like some things? Then ask the Holy Spirit, how do we change this? He's your helper. He's your guide. You know, when I came to the ministry here, there were some things not from a negative standpoint, but there were some things I didn't like. And I don't mean that from a negative. I mean, just there were some things that I saw that could be changed. From the area of spending money, just looking to the Holy Ghost for ideas. And I'm telling you, the ideas came. Why? Because I looked to him. And so it benefited this ministry for years. And still does. And so, you know, we don't talk about it, but, you know, I remember when I first came to the ministry, and it was actually when we moved up here, so it was a few years after. You know, just simple things. Things that you see, you know, money being spent. I remember, you know, having some background in the utility company. I came here and I said, wow, we're running these kind of parking lot lights? Wow, that's expensive. So knowing a little bit about that, I figured some things out, made a recommendation. It was very expensive to replace those parking lot lights. But from a business standpoint, the ROI or the return on investment was a year. So all I'm saying is that you can get ideas to help and to assist and to, it don't matter whether it's in your business, in your home, in the ministry, wherever it is, you look to the greater one. I remember when Pastor Clinton was doing these productions here, and, you know, I was really, I didn't have Broadway experience or any of those kind of things, so we worked with what we had. And I remember trying to think about, boy, how can we do, he was thinking about the choir and some of the staging. I'm thinking about how to make it happen up in the sound area. And so I remember these productions like it was yesterday. And I remember the first dress rehearsal we had, it was a mess. It really was, from a sound standpoint, it was a mess. And, you know, when you're dealing with people that don't have stage experience, they're holding microphones down here and here, and so it's not consistent. So you can't hear people and so forth. And I said, this is going to be a mess. So I started looking on the inside. Say, looking on the inside. I started looking to the Holy Spirit for assistance. I'm giving you just simple things. Everyday life things that helped, in this case, Pastor Clinton, to make those productions a big success. And so I heard the Holy Spirit say, record everybody. And record everybody. We've never done that before. We've never done that. So I started recording everybody on 4-track reel-to-reel. This was before we had computers and digital workstations and all of this. So I was on a 4-track reel-to-reel, and I had to record each part. Then I had to cut and splice and move them around on the tape. Thousands of hours of work. I mean thousands. And then put, you know, sound effects and backing tracks and all of that stuff underneath it. But when people came out under the lights, nobody knew they were, and they didn't care, because it was right on. It was perfect. What am I saying? You look to the Holy One in you. That's how I've learned to recognize his voice and to know in just the everyday walk that we have. Every day you get up and you say, okay, Lord, we got a problem here. How do I do this? How do we handle this? He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You begin to recognize his voice every day. You begin to sense things. And so I remember, I'll give you another example. When I first came here, we were buying for cassettes. We were buying these little plastic cases. And we were buying them from a vendor. They were costing us 10 cents a piece. We were going through hundreds of them. And so I said, why are we going to this vendor? Why don't we go to the manufacturer? Why go through another person who's making money? Nothing wrong with making money, but we're using thousands of them. Let's go through the manufacturer. Let's go right to where they make them. So I started believing God for that. I said, Lord, I believe. What did I say? I said, I believe to find the manufacturer. Now, this is before, I'm telling you, this is before when we first moved here. This is before we had any computers. All we had were phone books. That was it. We didn't have iPhones that we could click and do a little browser search, you know. All we had was a phone book, and at best, I don't even remember if we had a New York City phone book. We just had, you know, area phone books. So we were at a big disadvantage. And so all I had was the Holy Ghost and releasing my words and my faith. Whew, boy, I tell you. So I started, look, I just put the words out there. 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by, 4 months went by, 5 months went by. And all this time, I'm looking to redesign the label on the cassette. So I started putting bids out to vendors, New York City, local areas, where we could replace and redesign the cassette label. So I'm calling this guy. He's in New York City, and he calls me back and he says, out of the clear blue, now this is a printing press. He says, do you use plastic cases? Well, my ears perked up. He said, I don't print cassette labels, but he said, you need to go to the manufacturer. He's telling me. And he don't even do that work. And so he said, here's where they are in New Jersey. He said, all the record companies use them. You ought to go through them. And for years, since 1985 or 86, we were buying plastic cases for 4 cents a piece instead of 10 cents a piece. So what am I saying? Simple things, but the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you every step of the way. So when pressure comes, man, don't lose your grip. You got the greater one in you. You've got God living in you. Look to him. He already knows you're frustrated. He already knows you don't know what to do. He already knows you're going on, talking and grumbling and, he already knows that. Just talk to him. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do here, but I don't want to do this. Ask him. He'll give you guidance. He'll show you exactly how to be a success in everything. Everything. Hallelujah. He lives in me. The greater one lives in me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. This is in the King James. It says, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. My sufficiency is of God through Christ. Hallelujah. I like this. The Philip says, not that we are in any way confident of our own resources, but our ability comes from God. Hallelujah. Our ability comes from God. And we need not forget it. When you get a little money and you get a little, ability, you get a little place somewhere. You know, some of us think, well, I can handle this. Really? You couldn't handle it before. So we need to always remember that no matter where we are in life, how low you are, how high you are in the natural scheme of things, always remember your ability, your resources, your competence comes from God. Hallelujah. And as we were sharing before, 1 Corinthians 1:30, you are partners with Christ Jesus because of God. Jesus has become our wisdom, sent from God, our righteousness, our holiness, and our ransom from sin. Make up your mind that you are going to win. Make up your mind, I'm going to win. Why? Because he's my ability. He can't lose. Hallelujah. Turn over to John 15 for a moment. John chapter 15. Starting in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, say the branch cannot bear fruit, of itself, except it abide what? In the vine. So where's your source come from? The vine. You got to abide in the vine. Stay connected. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think that's important to remember, that we can't do anything without him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it what? Shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you do what? You bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. This process here, we call it a process, as we are in this faith process, this fight process, we're going to have to stay connected to the vine, and we're going to have to stay connected to his word, and we're going to have to fill our hearts and keep filling our hearts with the word of God and faith to confront this, confront the pressures of life. And as he said here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, some, see, this is where you've got to, faith is convinced. Faith has to be convinced that if I release my words, it shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Faith-filled words will change things. Faith-filled words of the church is changing this country. Faith-filled words in your home will change things. Faith-filled words on your job will change things. You're seeing, even in this area here, you're seeing corruption being dismantled. How did that come about? Words and prayers going forth in this atmosphere here in this area are exposing things. So let's not lose heart when we don't see things change immediately. You might say, well, when we start using it's impossible to change, then you're not convinced. You're looking at the magnitude of the problem. And we need to look at it from God's vantage point, that it will change. And it's going to change, and not to lose heart. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." See, he's not ridiculed. He's not made a fool of. "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9, "Let us not be weary in" what? "Well-doing." Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do what? We faint not. That's our part. Keep doing what God's word says to do. Keep releasing his word in the situation. Faith-filled words. Have patience. And don't lose heart. But it will come to pass in due season. It's going to change. The Amplified says, "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." Hallelujah. I like the Message translation. It says, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest." The Amplified says it this way, "For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap." So the Message goes on. It says, "The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, he will harvest a crop if we don't give up or quit." That's the key. Don't let fatigue or discouragement cause you to let up or loosen your grip. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. Keep your grip solid. You know, as we walk through some of these things that we're seeing here in this earth, you're seeing more and more darkness displayed. I know Minister Joe was sharing this a few years ago. He's a professor at East Stroudsburg University. And there's a public road, it's not private even though it's on the university, there's a public road that runs through the campus. So because it's a public road and it's not private, people can demonstrate. And so one of the things that Minister Joe had shared, he said he really appreciated us reading every service John 3:16, how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son here for mankind. And so he said, on more than one occasion, he said people were lining church people, not sinners, church people, were lining the roads of the campus with signs calling homosexuals faggots and whoremongers and going to hell and so forth and so on. Something wrong with that. And Minister Joe said, because we read that scripture every week, every service, he said when he saw it, he said, oh, no. His heart dropped. That's not representative of the church. How are you going to change? We got to change some thinking. Sinners sin because they're sinners. And you need to be able to embrace, not embrace the sin, but not be like, ooh. Jesus sat with sinners. How are you going to be able to dialogue and share? You know, one of the things that we were at Rhema a few years ago, and it was at a men's conference, and this gentleman was invited to speak, and I said, boy, he looks familiar. He was an older gentleman, you know, chrome dome, bald, he's all blinged out with stuff, you know. He looked almost like an entertainer. Big black horned rim glasses, and I said, he looks familiar. And when they mentioned his name, I said, I've seen this guy before. But I didn't know who it was. So I just did a quick Google search. Katy Perry's father. And I thought, interesting. Her father's Holy Ghost filled, preaching the gospel for 40 years. And he mentioned about how he interacts in circles, as he called it, protected circles. You understand what that means? You can't get close to these entertainers. And they're out there, some of them. But he has access because of his daughter. And he said, he shared this, he was just sharing from the standpoint of when he interacts with them, he's just himself. He don't preach at them. He don't bang them with the gospel. And they listen. And they said to him, you know, we like you, because he said, you're not threatening. And I thought, it's an interesting term to use. So because he's not threatening, they will listen to him. They're searching for answers. Yes. They're looking for the way. But there's got to be a way that we preach and teach and share with people that is just powerful, but you ain't up in somebody's face threatening them with something, telling them they're going to hell and all of this. And so I'm just sharing that we're going to need to reach the masses. And the Holy Ghost is your helper. What did Leanne share? She said, when you know the Holy Ghost and you know his voice, he'll say, go over and just share this word with that person over there. And they'll know that they know. How did you know that? Well, I'm a Christian, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me to go over and share that with you. You got their attention. You didn't preach at them. You didn't bang them with something. You didn't threaten them. You didn't call them a bunch of bag of names. They're hurting. They're looking for answers. They're searching. And who's in us? The Spirit of Truth. And he will help us reach the lost I want to say this. Don't you think he knows? He died for them. Don't you think he knows how to reach them and the method to reach them and the best way to hook them and bring them in? Don't you think he knows? Then let's look inside to him to help us to do that. Right? Not the way you traditionally think you should do it. Right? Look to the greater one. Look to the one inside that will help us reach the lost. And in that, I just share that don't be weary in your well-doing. Don't loosen your grip. Look to the greater one inside. He'll help us. So we don't have to come up short in any area of our life. And that's even reaching the lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that we're in you. We live in you. Our life is not our own. We belong to you. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And so therefore we glorify you with our spirits and our bodies and our minds. We're bought with a price. We're not our own anymore. We belong to you. And you live in us and you guide us and teach us how to live in this earth and overcome. And Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.